the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. Sarah Broussard and Lauren Kiefer are the owner and rider of Veronica, who finished second at the Rolex Kentucky three-day event presented by Land Rover, and they join me now to relive what was clearly a career highlight for them. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, congratulations. That was a wonderful week for you both. You must still be celebrating.
Yeah, we're pretty thrilled with Veronica. She was great.
Well, obviously this means a lot to you both and to the team, the owners and the mayor's future. Let's start with you, Sarah. When you came into this picture and being an owner of Veronica, the mayor had some experience. So what were your expectations of the mayor's career at that point?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we don't really, my father and I, when we look at horses, we go off of the opinions of the riders that kind of bring them forward to us. So I really didn't have any detailed perceptions per se. I just knew the mayor was a great mayor, that she would have a great career and a wonderful one to watch go around.
So, Lauren, you took over the ride from Karen O'Connor, where the mayor had already got a track record. And at what point did you take over, and what have you done with the mayor leading up to Rolex?
I started riding her, I think, January of last year. And, we had quite a good year the year before, a couple of blips getting to know each other, but pretty consistent. And then leading up to Rolex, I really had a quiet spring. Like, I, just did horse trials and just kind of had steady, consistent runs with the goal really being Kentucky, and it seemed to pay off really well with her.
Well, let's get a picture of the mare and what kind of temperament she is. She's a 12-year-old Dutch warm blood.
Yes. Her nickname in the barn is the Troll. she's got a huge personality, and she's a lot of fun to be around of, but she's certainly not a snuggler. She's got a fighting spirit, but at the end of the day, that's what you want when you're out there.
Well, how does that translate into riding her?
Oh, she's lovely to ride. She's such a workman. She shows up for work every day. She never, doesn't want to do her job. She really enjoys her job. Like, she's great, great to ride.
Well, Sarah, how much of her performances have you seen then since you've been owner?
Well, actually, I had the opportunity to see, it was actually right after Lauren initially had the ride, and then unfortunately she broke her wrist. This was quite a few years ago. And then Karen got the ride, and that's when we bought the horse. And I didn't have much of a chance to see her go with Karen. I've seen her run a couple times with Lauren, and like Lauren said, she really is a workhorse. She loves to do her job. She's wonderful in all three phases, and she definitely, she shows up for work, like Lauren said, every time. Mm-hmm. And not only does she do her job really well, but she enjoys it. So it's lovely to watch the two go together.
Well, as I mentioned, she's a Dutch warm blood. She's by Pacific, out of Kimball, by Farrow. Is that a line anywhere in there then, Sarah, that had appealed to you? Was it the breeding that also caught your eye, as well as obviously the mare's performances?
No, it's definitely not. We don't really, like I said, we kind of go off of the horses that riders bring to us. This was quite a few years ago. Right after my mother passed away, that Karen came to us and said that this was a special mare and that she was one that was worth looking into. And that's when we went ahead and bought her. And it really, our decision wasn't based on breeding or anything like that. It was simply the fact that the mare was a workhorse, that she, excelled in all three phases and, had potential. Karen felt that she had potential, and unfortunately, Karen had her fall, but like I said, Lauren had ridden the horse before that, and it only made sense to put the horse back under Lauren when we were looking for a new rider. And they've had, a wonderful track record, and culminating here at second place at Rolex, it's a wonderful, it's been a wonderful ride, I think. Well, I think it has been for Lauren too. She's always smiling whenever I see her. So.
Well, I'm sure she was smiling in her sleep all this week too.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Lauren, let's talk about that partnership when you're in the tack with her, because you've produced her beautifully to compete in her first 4-star event. How has that looked for you? What have been the strengths and weaknesses that have come into play in that preparation with the mare?
She was obviously already beautifully prepared by, Scott Keach and Karen. They'd done all the, base work on her, and a lot of it was, just kind of working out the details and taking it to the next level. Like, she already had the tools, and that was, about creating something even bigger. And I'd say, the finest detail in our relationship was, she's a very competitive mare, and she's a very independent mare to ride. And so to kind of, for me, to let her do her job and not try to control it too much was something I had to learn. And then, it carried over that now when I do try to voice my opinion, she listens to me rather than ignoring me, because, when I do pipe up, she thinks maybe I do have something worthwhile to say. But, that's kind of been the biggest thing, the last year, figuring each other out and trusting each other. Now I trust her to do her job, and she trusts me to have a good opinion every once in a while.
So you mentioned coming into Rolex, you'd had a relatively easy spring with her. Tell us about that final preparation, though, and what your expectations were when you arrived at the horse park, Lauren.
The spring was really, we kind of more did our homework at home, and we had the runs for fitness, but I never really chased the time. I just went for steady, confident rounds. I really focused at the events of whether there was any kind of drift over a corner or a wobble at a skinny or anything like that, and would go home and kind of address it at home rather than running her more. And I really showed up to Kentucky, and I actually said to a couple people when they asked, I felt I really kind of showed up. I knew my homework was done. Like, I didn't feel like there was anything that I'd left at home, and that it was really just going to come down to whether the weekend was ours or not. I didn't feel like I'd left anything off the plate, and so it was really down to fate.
Well, talk us through the dressage test, because obviously that was very impressive for anyone who was watching, and it must have been particularly thrilling for you to ride it. How did the warm-up go, and did she give you what you expected when you walked down that ramp?
Absolutely. I was really counting on her. She, every time I've ridden her with atmosphere, she's been even better, and, I really counted on her to go in there and be even bigger and better with the atmosphere. The warm-up was great. She was super quiet. She was very rideable. She kind of went through all the motions and felt well in her body and everything. And I only flatted her once that week. We got there Monday, and I flatted her on Wednesday with Jacqueline Brooks, and Jacqueline Brooks was there for our warm-up. And, it seemed to be a great preparation for her. She hadn't been drilled, and she went in and was fresh and felt good and was ready to kind of go in and show off.
Sarah, are you a nervous owner? Where were you at this point? Were you watching every step, or do you just hide in the shadows and disguise your nerves?
I got to say, I vacillate back and forth between both of those. This time, we were there. We were kind of front and center watching her dressage, which I was a little concerned because the rain had kind of come. I knew that Lauren was out in the warm-up during the rain, and we were all kind of joking around in the tent about how Troll was probably running around with her ears out sideways, like, oh, I'm in the rain, I don't like being in the rain, but I'm working, I'm doing this. And I think it was awesome that this guy's, kind of quit with the rain, and Lauren and Troll came trotting in, and I think Troll was maybe a little relieved that the rain had stopped, and Ethan was maybe ready to say, "Okay, now I'll do this. I'll show off." And you could see when she came into the arena, she was like, "Yep, I'm here, and y'all better look because I'm pretty." So yeah, we did. My father and I both watched the dressage there ringside, and then for cross country, I snuck up into control so I could watch up on the monitors. And that was a little stressful because not only was Lauren going at the time, but Philip was going on Miss Medicott at the same time. So I commented afterwards that I needed to start working out just to be an owner, handle the stress.
Well, all eyes were on the scoreboard after your dressage test, Lauren. When you walked away from the arena, what were your expectations? Did you think, yep, I've nailed it, I've done all I could do out there, and I, you know, hope for a top placing from that?
Yeah, I really, you know, I wasn't sure if I was gonna move into the lead. The scoring had been so tough and everything, but I certainly was really pleased with the test and didn't feel like I'd left anything on the table. And it was funny, I didn't quite really think about what my score would be until, like, I halted and the crowd kind of went crazy, and then I glanced at the scoreboard and knew that my score was above the other leaders, so that was pretty neat.
So on to the cross-country phase then. Now, did you walk it together at all? Sarah, is this something that you enjoy, or does it make you more nervous?
I did go around the cross-country course, but not with Lauren. I think it probably wouldn't be a good idea for me to do that. it does, you know, I used to ride, I used to compete, but, you know, still those jumps are big. So it's a good thing that that Lauren didn't hear me doing my oohs and ahs and holy cow, that thing is huge, or, you know, anything like that.
So, Lauren, how many times did you walk it?
I walked it 5 times.
And what was your first impression, day one?
I walked around it. You know, I thought there was a lot to do. It felt like a typical Derek course. You know, I think he'd taken a step up from his past courses. It just, the technicality never quite let up. And the thing was all the lines were so forward that you really couldn't fiddle your way through any combination to try to play it safe. You walk the course and knew you were just going to have to go out there and attack it and not let it alone till the very end.
Well, I'm sure with all those times around it, 5 times walking the turf there, you knew exactly which blade of grass you were going to be taking off on at every fence.
Absolutely.
But what were you thinking in terms of the individual questions? Was there anything that you said, you know, this is something really for me to sleep on tonight?
Funnily enough, the very last combination, the table to corner, you know, that was the one I knew I needed to really stay focused on to the end. Not so much because it'd be an issue, but just in the past, I've gotten lax at the end of courses and had something silly happen. So I really just focused on not being done until I was done.
Now, what about your own fitness?
I've been competing a lot of horses all, you know, year, and that helps a lot. But I've started doing a lot of Pilates, and the week before I was kind of running up the hill and stuff at the end of the day just to get a little more cardio stuff. But luckily riding all the horses really tends to keep you pretty fit.
Now, this is not, of course, your first Rolex, but this was probably the one you had a real shot of impressing people, and it would be a turning point in your career, Lauren, to complete this in the top three. So how were you feeling going into cross-country day? Did you sleep the night before?
I'm a nervous sleeper, so when I am nervous, I sleep really well. Before my first Rolex, my groom, Nat VC, actually had to wake me up because I fell asleep in the chair before cross-country. But I knew that I needed to kind of take a cut at it, and I didn't want to, you know, just kind of be mediocre. Like, I'd rather take a cut at it or, you know, kind of go down trying. And so that was really my mindset going out there, was that I was going to trust my horse, ride the line strong, and, you know, go for it in the beginning.
So coming into that final combination that was a question mark when you slept on, how were you feeling with the mare under you then? You knew you could make the time. How was she feeling, and what was going through your mind at that point? Were you really satisfied with what you'd done so far and that you could get home with a fit mare inside the time?
She felt great. I knew that I was up on my time, and so I made myself really kind of take a tug there. And, you know, she was spot on through it, but I definitely took a few extra seconds, probably more than I took anywhere else. And then once I was through that, I was glad we were headed home. But, you know, I was really pleased with how fit and well she felt, because you really don't know how a horse will feel in that 11th minute until you've gotten there.
Absolutely. Well, we know that Sarah was probably hiding in the shadows, but in the control box watching the monitors, Sarah, did you live every moment for Lauren? Were you able to watch it all?
Yeah, up in control, they have about 10 cameras, 10 camera feeds. So
no, I was wondering if you were able to watch, or you had to turn away at some point.
Well, no, I did watch. I did watch, and actually, where control is situated, you can see quite a bit if you step out of the tent. So I did force myself, but you know, watching the two of them go is really quite pleasant. And like, you know, like Lauren said, they do have this kind of, I think anytime anyone rides a mare, you have to have a delicate relationship. And I think that Lauren does a very good job with letting Veronica, you know, feel like she's in control for the most part. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, occasionally say, hey, let's try this. And so instead of it, you know, anytime, either there's never a fight, you know, because if Lauren says, you know, hey, slow down, or hey, we need to do this, the mare's like, oh, okay, we can try that. and so it is, it's quite pleasant to watch. And you know, of course, looking at the pictures and stuff afterwards are just, it's always amazing. So, you know, I'm getting excited just thinking about it, talking about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm there. And they were running around, and it was so cool.
Now, were you able to sprint down from the control there on the top of the hill back to the finish to see them afterwards, or did you head back to the barn?
I went back, and I met up with everybody else, because they were over in the sponsor tent. So I made my way back over, and we had our little celebrations and happy dances and so on and so forth. And later on that afternoon, we went over to stabling and met up with Lauren.
Well, Lauren, obviously when you pulled that mare up, you had the horse you expected, and she was fit, mm-hmm. and you headed back to the barn. Tell us about how that evening was, and then your thoughts directed, obviously, to the checkup, the vet check the next day, but also the stadium. Were you very confident at that point?
Yeah, I was confident in my schooling and everything else, and, you know, I've been taking lessons with Scott Keach all winter, and obviously I've ridden with David and Karen for a long, long time. And I knew how I needed to go in and ride it. I knew how to ride the lines. I knew how to ride the horse. You know, and she's been quite good show jumping all spring. And I was actually, the thing that thrilled me the most was, you never quite know how a horse is going to jump after running 11 and a half minutes. And from that very first warm-up jump, she felt like she had any other day. And so I knew I had all the horse under me, and that made me feel really good. And so I knew I just had to go in and keep my cool and ride the course well.
Well, with only one horse at a competition, it's a bit of a luxury for you. You had some downtime. And I'm wondering, though, since you said you're one of those nervous sleepers, and did you take a nap before the show jumping?
I didn't, actually. It was actually before the show jumping. There wasn't a whole lot of downtime because we had, you know, the jog and then went straight to the course walk and then the Parade of Nations. And then I watched all the first rounds before I got on.
Okay, so going into that arena then, a huge atmosphere for even seasoned campaigners, and knowing that you were the one that could put pressure on the world's number two rider, William Fox Pitt, and deny him a third win, what was going through your mind? Because you looked very cool and calm, and you rode an immaculate round, as we all know, but there must have been something going on in your mind when you went into that arena.
I was just ready to go in there at that point and do my job, you know. I wanted to just go and do it and have it done one way or the other. The one thing I did do is I trod in and held up my finger so that hopefully the crowd wouldn't cheer, because every time the crowd cheered in the warm-up, she would get really excited. And so I didn't want them to do that while she was in the middle of the course and lose her focus. And luckily they stayed quiet till the end.
And it rode beautifully for you, just as you'd planned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it rode perfectly.
Sarah, where were you at this point? Were you able to watch again, or did you have to turn away when she got to that last fence?
I forced myself to watch. I knew, you know, when where I was situated on the ring, she kind of was coming straight towards me when she jumped over the first jump and came to that first jump, and the mare was about a foot over the rail. And I was like, oh, she'll be fine. When I saw how well and how relaxed they came to the first jump and over the first jump, I knew that it really was a matter of, at that point, the mare staying on task, which, you know, that's what she does. She wasn't tired. She looked fresh. She looked great. So I felt that Lauren wasn't going to have to work a lot to keep her together, that they were going to be able to have one of their normal show jump rounds. It just happened to be a 4-star course at Rolex Arena, but it was, you know, normal for them, right?
Well, Lauren, I've heard you say about that track that you were just going in there to ride it as if it was any other course, but when you came through the finish with a clear round in that position, your emotions must have been doing something. The tummy might have been just tumbling a little bit, I think.
Yeah. I was so excited when she went through the finish and jumped clear. I was thrilled with her. And I was so glad to be done.
Relieved it was all over.
Exactly.
But obviously, a huge moment for you, as I said, in your career. And when you finish a 4-star, when any rider finishes a 4-star, but to finish second at the only 4-star in North America, one of 6 in the world, and there you were right behind William Foxpit, putting pressure on him. That in itself was a personal accomplishment. Must have been huge for you, Lauren.
Yeah, it really was. Like, it's every rider's goal, and everybody puts in so much hard work, and you a little bit wonder how long it's going to take, you know? Like, it's kind of made me hungry for the 4-star win, but, like, it's a huge thing to be second, and you do your whole career wonder how long it'll take and whether you'll have the horse and whether you'll pull it off when you have the opportunity. And I think it really comes down to not throwing away the opportunities, you know, especially at the 4-star level. When you have the chance to have that good dressage test and then a good cross country and everything else, you kind of just got to put it all out there.
When you rode back to the warm-up arena after your ride, though, Lauren, were you waiting to be told how William had done, or were you able to watch it from where you were?
No, I actually didn't watch. I was just kind of waiting to be told.
And then there must have been a moment, I'm sure, any rider who's, you know, the verge of potentially winning themselves, just but for the sake of one rail, that's a lot of pressure on you and the other rider. Were you secretly wishing, well, I just hope one rail falls down?
Absolutely. But he's so, you know, William's so genuine, and he was so kind to me all weekend. And, you know, if you have to be second to someone, you might as well be second to the best in the world.
Well, clearly this is a huge win for you personally, but also for the mare. Sarah, what does this actually mean in terms of the mare's career?
Well, nothing's going to change. Jacqueline Mars had, and she's been talking to us for a couple of years now. We've just never managed to get around to doing it, but Jackie has always liked this mare and would like to get an embryo from her, and so we're seriously considering doing that, and we're looking to get 2 of them so that Jackie can have one and then we'll keep one. And you know, I don't know what we'll do with that, you know, but we have a few little troll babies out. Yeah, little troll babies, it's gonna be great. But as far as Veronica's career right now, you know, staying with Lauren and moving forward, and really with the horses, we go off of what the rider kind of tells us, you know, where they think the horse should go. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we have our fingers crossed for Weg being on the team. But, you know, after that, don't know.
Well, you mentioned the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games this summer. Clearly, the mare was on the list that was vetted the next day. She's one that they're keeping an eye on. But now it's all about her having a vacation, isn't it, Lauren, before you start thinking about the rest of the summer?
Absolutely. You know, she's enjoying the big, thick Virginia grass, and, you know, she deserves a little letdown time. You know, she really came out of the event looking amazing, though, and I'm thrilled by that. And so once she has a good break, we'll start legging her up and, you know, start off with the summer and fall season and see where we're at.
Now, does that schedule obviously depend on the Rolex, whether you got after your Rolex win, depend on selection? But do you determine the competitions for her leading up to that final selection, Lauren, or are you guided by David and other people at the USEF?
Yeah, I you know, kind of come up with a plan that I like, and of course I'll run it by David. Like, he's such a longtime coach and mentor on top of being the team coach. But, you know, like, at this point, you know, I know the mare well, and I kind of know what she likes to do in preparation, what she needs, and, you know, usually we agree on what the next step should be.
Well, it obviously has been a fabulous week for you, and it's something, no matter what happens in the future, nobody can take away from your achievement at Rolex, Lauren. And Sarah, a very, very proud owner, and your dad, no doubt, right now. That will last a long time, that memory.
Yes, it will. It's a good one. We'll keep it.
Well, again, huge congratulations to you both, and obviously your partnership with your mare, and Sarah, again, for supporting the sport the way you do. Thank you both very much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking us to come on.
You can find daily reports, photos, and videos of coverage from this year's Rolex Kentucky 3-day event presented by Land Rover on the website at useventing.com. This podcast is also available for download on iTunes. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.